Come on, lift your voice this morning. Give the Lord praise. Shout unto God, the word says. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. How great is God? How great is God? This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. And again, I love the scripture that says, the Lord Almighty, the Lord God speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Today didn't just show up. God summoned this day. Every law necessary to orchestrate this incredible day that our wonderful God has created. We need to think wonderful. We need to think wonderful. 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 What a wonderful day this is. This is the greatest season of your lives. This is the day God has made. If you see it in the right perspective and you realize this is the day God has made, He summoned it from the rising of the sun till its setting, from the time you wake up, before you wake up, till its setting. And He created it for His purpose and for His pleasure. And He made you His pleasure. He created all things for His purpose and His pleasure. There's such a vast emptiness in every individual. We are created to be empty. So there's a place for God to dwell. We are created to be hungry. You ever notice no matter how much you eat, the night prior, the next morning, you're hungry. I mean, you can walk away from the table and go, oh man, I won't eat for weeks. Lie. You'll be hungry in 3 or 4 hours. We're created to be hungry. I want you to think wonderful today. Think wonderful. Just think wonderful. Think wonderful. Wonderful. Say wonderful. Wonderful is today. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Wonderful is today. And say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let your ear hear your mouth say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, we praise you today. Thank you for the excellence of your word. We thank you that you are ever present with your people. So much so, God. Open the eyes of your people to see, to be aware of your presence. How wonderful you are. That your way is so perfect. And that your people's steps are ordered by you, O God. All we have to do is acknowledge that. It's easier than you think. It's easier than you think. It's easier than you think. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. There's so much about you God wants you to know today. All the future hope, all the future dream, all the future fulfillment of the Word of God lies within the kingdom of His principality. And the place of that kingdom dwells on the inside of you. So when they inquired of Jesus and said, show us the kingdom, He said, the question is right, but the perception is wrong. He said, I can't show you in a sense that you see it coming to you because it doesn't come with observation. Observe it in this way. Look for it here. The kingdom of God isn't something from afar coming close. The kingdom of God is within you. Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Where would he put it? Where would he put it? How could we find it? And is it looking for something that we have to search for, looking at a place for? Or is it someplace that we just aren't aware of? And is it in a way that we haven't understood? So Paul said, I pray for you for the excellent spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you may know him better and that you may know him more. So my prayer for everyone in the house and those that are viewing, those that have joined us today online, that by the power of God's will and by the acknowledgement of his design of who you are and in whom you belong, that your eyes will be open to see, your ears keen to hear what the Spirit of God would say to you. You are the body of Christ. You are the church. And no one any better, no one more excellent than another, but so uniquely and specifically designed and ordered by God that he is going to orchestrate his will in this season, this generation, this time, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I want you to believe this is the greatest season of your life. This is the day. This is it. This is the hour. Uncompromised. There is great certainty. It's never been so great. I want you to say, it's never been so great. No, forget about what you see. It's time to prophesy. God said, in the latter days, says the Spirit of wonder, you will prophesy. Never seen it like this before. It's never been like this before. This is not another day. This is the day. It's not just another day. This is the day. Come on, say it. Not just another day. This is the day. This is the day that God has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Unlike any other. Something so new, so divine. This is the day that God has made. Can't help but rejoice and be glad in it. He walks in me, he walks in you. He wants you to know what to do every minute, every second, every hour of the day. He will lead you and guide you. Stand right there beside you when you come before the throne in Jesus' name. So, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Come on, say it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Come on. Yeah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Come on, say it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Come on, say it. Not by might, nor by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Greater is God that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on. Greater is he that is in me, he that is in the world. Come on, say. Greater is he that is in me, he that is in the world. He's greater than my mind, my thoughts, my perception of time. He's greater than anything I could fathom in the deepest recesses of my imagination. He is the Lord in all, through all, and over all. And to God be glory, honor, and praise. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the everlasting one. He who will never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, he's with you always, even unto the end of the ages. He is the one that orchestrated the very moment that you were created, the very moment that your name was called out. He is God over the nations of the universe, and upon his shoulders the governments rest. He is the Lord who sees before. He is God, the projector of all time. He is the voice of certainty. He is the Lord everlasting. He is the God who comforts. He is the Lord who strengthens. He is the opener of the eyes and the deaf ears that you may hear. He is the Lord that orchestrates your steps in such a way that even when you can't see where you're going, the Lord says, I am the light of your mind. I am the strength of your spirit. I am the inside of your future. I am the Lord ever before you. I stand strong with you. And if you come before me in the identity of my Son, you will see the glory of the Father resting on you. And the nations of the earth will call you blessed. They will not be able to deny that the Lord has raised you up in this day to make a declaration that it is not by might, nor by your wisdom or your power. It is by the unseen revelation of the true and invisible God who reigns and rules in you, who makes his presence known through his Spirit that dwells in you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is his name. Jesus, 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 he's still the same. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, forever you reign. There's no demon, there's no devil. There's no spirit, no power, no evil. There isn't a single thing in all of creation that can hold you back for one single second. For when God sets a step before you and says, trust me, says the Lord, and take this step, the Lord God will cause the seas to part. He'll cause the rock to bleed water. He'll cause the heavens to rain down on you. And God will prove that he is the Lord among his people. Believe the Lord your God, and he will lead you in the way you are to go. This is the hour of our God and of his Christ. If you believe it, shout, yeah! I think that's a good beginning. You can take your seats this morning. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Scriptures also tell us in Jeremiah 29, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. And he said, they're all good. You know, people will ask this question. They'll say, how can I know that God will hear me? Believers, non-believers, uncertain believers. How can I be certain that God will answer me if I pray? Because many times people have prayed, but it's who you pray to that makes all the difference. And when you pray to God, the word says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the reason is God is pleased when he can do something through you that he's designed you to be and to do. And the word says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's important to please God. Not that God is standing or sitting on some throne waiting to be pleased, but that God is love, and in the favor of his love, he wants to show you, as he did Elijah, that I'm God with you. And the word says, if you're going to come to him, you must believe that he is God. So who is God? He's wonderful. He's excellent in counsel. He's mighty in wisdom. He knows how to instruct you in everything, in anything. And for the most part, we know that. But how can I be sure that God will answer my prayer? And the answer is really, really simple. Look for what God has for you. How can I know that God's going to answer me when I call on him? Just look for what he has for you. He said it this way. He said, if you pray according to my will, get it. And the thing to understand is that God's will for you is way better and way beyond your will for you. So how do I know that God will answer me when I call on him? I'm looking for what he wants for me. Simple, right? How can I be certain that God will answer me when I pray? I'm certain he will answer me Because I'm looking for what He has for me. That's simple. There's your answer. God will always answer you every single time. He said so. He said, call on me and I will answer you and I'll show you everything you want. Give you everything you desire, right? No one answers in this house when I ask a question. No, that's not what he said. He said, call on me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you things that exceed your imagination. Things you wouldn't even know to pray for. Things you wouldn't even know to ask. So when God calls us into something like that, it's challenging to our faith. You know why God enacted James 1:2? Why he allowed that to be a law? Why he put James 1 verse 2 into motion? Count it all joy when, depending on the version you read, Old King James, count it all joy when you enter different types of the trying of your faith, knowing that the trying of your faith makes you remain steadfast, sturdy, unmovable. It prepares you so you lack nothing. Count it all joy. He didn't tell you to get excited because of what you're going through. He says this is your response to what you're going through. Count it all joy. And the reason for that, and the only reason that that scripture is in motion, is because God is saying this. When you're tried, there's only one thing you have to remember. I've called you to bear witness of your faith in me. That's it. James 1:3 is in position, 1:2 is in position because God is saying, I want you to be a witness of your faith in me. That's it. That's simple. It's a simple day. It's a simple day. Matt said to me one time, what do you know about simple? Well, it's very simple. It is simple. Today is simple. It's just a simple day. How many would like your life to be better? Don't be afraid. What if I told you God isn't necessarily interested in making your life better? He isn't. God is not necessarily interested in making your life better. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go home and be encouraged. We want to make, and even if you don't want to make an impact in the world, let me tell you, it's your call. That's why you're going through the trials of your faith. God wants you to know the only reason anything ever comes my direction that calls on my faith is God wants me to be a stand-up witness. It's that simple. He just wants me to be a standing witness that I believe Him. I haven't found anything in the Word that says, I'll do it your way, even some of the time. Jesus said, when you pray, pray His will would be done. That's the best prayer you can pray. Your will be done, but mean it. Not approve my will, but your will be done. Confirm your will. Every prayer you ever pray will be answered if you look for the will of God before you pray. God, I know what I need, but that's not what I'm here to pray about. God, actually, Scripture has actually never taught us to pray according to our need. And God doesn't want your life. He doesn't want things to be better. I'm encouraging you today. And I'll tell you why. Because better to us is different than good to God. When God created the heavens and the earth, He called it good. He said it's good. We have to be an impact in the world. We have to make a difference. Get ready for this. Life isn't all about you. And it isn't about God meeting your needs. And God doesn't necessarily want to make your life better. Because better is a comparison word. Better than what? Better than what? One day I decided that I was going to own a business, and I did. I wanted to prove that I could do business by faith and God would bless it as much as He blesses me preaching. So I had several businesses, and they were all successful, and God blessed me. And then God told me, if you don't sell them all and do what I called you to do, you'll have sold the kingdom for a price. So guess what I did? Sold them all. But one day I decided I'd be a designer landscaper. I'd go into people's yards and I'd design these great landscapes. So I did. So initially, I was the guy behind the wheelbarrow pushing the wheelbarrow full of rock from the front to the back. I decided to do this in Tucson, Arizona. And people like their yards to look pretty in the summer because it's so ugly. Because it's so hot and dry. So I'd go in and I'd do all this design. One day early on, I had the wheelbarrow. You have to know how to do, and you have to be willing to do if you expect others to do what you want them to do as well as you want it done. You have to do it that well. So I'm pushing a wheelbarrow back and forth. It's about 110, 112 outside. But it's fine. It's all right. I have water. 110, 112 gets real hot after a few wheelbarrows full of rock. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to go and sit under a tree and cool down. Under the tree, it was 104. Hey, that's better. But better doesn't necessarily mean good. If you are comparing 104 to 110, 115, it's better, but it's not good. So after getting real hot in 110, 112 degree temperature, I sat under a tree at 104, and it was better, but it wasn't good. So after sitting under the tree for about 30 minutes, my head started pounding. I had to call my wife and ask her how to get home because I couldn't remember. I got so hot. You see, better depends on what you're comparing better to. If things are bad and you say this is better, that doesn't mean it's good. When God created the world, He said, this is good, not better. Better is a comparison word. And then the word also says comparing yourself with one another or even a specific time is not wise. Unless you're compared to Christ. Better is not what God has for you. Good, excellent, wonderful is what God has for you. And better is disappointing because better is comparison to something. When you say this is better, I like this, it's better. What you're saying is where I was, I disliked, and this is a little better dislike, but I still don't like it because it's not the best. This isn't good. You know what holds believers back is believers that ask God to meet their needs. It holds you back. Because there really isn't any scripture that teaches us to ask God to meet our needs. As a matter of fact, Jesus addressed this one day and he said, I know what you have need of. He said, you think about clothing, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do, where you're going to go work, what you're going to... And he says, unbelievers think about that. He said, I want you to do something. Consider the lilies of the valley. They don't toil, they don't work, they don't sweat, they're not anxious. Yet your heavenly Father clothes them in such a way that even Solomon's glory and his apparel couldn't be compared to one of these. He says, I know what you have need of. So the prayer is, Lord, your will be done. What holds a church back is asking God to meet our needs. That's what holds us back. Asking God to make things better holds you back. Better than what? Better is a comparison word. What God said is in the last days, I want you to prophesy. I want you to foretell. And he said, if you will seek for me, he said, I will be found of you. Projection is power. Comparison is not. Projection envelops your imagination. Projection shows you the will of Christ when He's the lens you project through. And if you're projecting through Christ, you know that the equivalent of my faith cannot be compared to what I need or what I want. The true potential of my faith, the true potential of your faith can never be known based on what you need. If need is what always drives your faith will never be beyond your need. So when God calls you to do something and your knees get weak, that's a good place. There's no comparison because you'll say things like David did. I've never done this before. I've never fought a giant before, but I know that God is with me. Today's day is not about repeating a little better than what we did before. Today is about believing God for what He said. My God is able to do exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think according to the power that is at work on the inside of you. And that power is that I am a projector. People don't project. They just make a move. I want, they act on their wants, never projecting the outcome. The word says, what man count building a house doesn't stop to count the cost? Well, there we are right there. I have to count the cost before I step. No, that's not the cost he's talking about. What he's talking about is make sure the contractor you have is God. Make sure the projection, make sure the blueprint is something that exceeds you so God can do it through you. Because if it's something you're able to handle, if you just stretch yourself a little, that's not good, that's just better. God wants you to do good. He created the world. He said, this is good. This is where I want mankind to live. I want man to live in the good. Matt, God never called you to be a good preacher or a good evangelist or a great preacher or a great evangelist or a great businessman. He called you to bear witness to great faith. And people don't understand because people have comparison as to what it should look like, and no one can see your call if they're looking at your skill. No one can know your anointing, so you can't bear witness to who Christ in you is if what you're trying to do has to do with what you're capable of doing, if you do your best. Better is not good enough. Only great is good enough. Only excellent is good enough. God, my God, His way is perfect. His way is excellent. So we look for what is better, falling far, far short of what is good. Because better is a comparison word. Compared to what? Well, that was so bad. Listen to what you're saying. But this is better? This is bad better? This is two steps better than bad? That was real bad, and you settled because this is better. Stop it. You ever heard the saying, get your head out of the clouds? I agree. Surpass the clouds. It's a good starting point, but way beyond the clouds. The perspective of a prophetic generation is to project beyond your imagination. And God will call you to that. If you seek God's will, He's not going to tell you to do something you can do. God's going to say, get your head out of the clouds. You've had them there long enough. Go way beyond that. Let's get heaven high faith. Heaven high faith. So far beyond the ordinary that the extraordinary can take place. No one's going to be impressed if you do extraordinary, but they will be impressed if you do ordinary. And you may say, I don't care if they're impressed. Well, you're out of order because you were called to do one thing, to bear witness to who He is in you. That's what you're called to do. Your call isn't to present yourself as a great businessman or a great preacher or a great businesswoman or a great professional. Your call is to bear witness to great faith. And great faith means that's what I'm designed. If you only knew your design, if you only get a handle on your design, you will do exceeding abundant and beyond. Because our design is God saying, here's my word, perform it. Adam, name all the animals. And Adam had to think, I don't know what to call them. God says, but I do. I made them. So all I need you to do is have faith in me. Call them. And whatever you call them, you will have addressed them correctly. That will be their name. Not Adam, make up a name. God didn't say make up a name. He didn't say figure out a name. You don't have to figure out how to get anywhere. You don't have to figure out how to get saved. If you do, I want to know how that works. If you can figure it out, you're the smartest person that ever existed on the planet. You can't figure out how to get born again. It's beyond your imagination. When the Lord saved me, it felt like He reached in and grabbed me by the soul. I was as ignorant about church as anyone could possibly be. As they say, as a box of rocks. I had no clue. I had no conception. When God saved me, I didn't know what happened to me. Someone said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I know you're supposed to say, I got saved, I got born again. But my answer was, I don't know. I'm just feel different. Just feel different. God doesn't need you to know how to make your life right. He designed you to be dependent on Him. That's a relationship with God. It's pure dependency on God. It's not us growing into this mature point of having a vocabulary that's able to express who He is and how He is and basic fundamentals that lead us into a projection of this is the way God does what He does. That's craziness. God is exceeding abundant and beyond all we know to ask or think. He said, my ways are far beyond your ways. If you stuck your head in the cloud, you wouldn't even be close. If you exceeded the cloud, you wouldn't be close. Only when you look for the kingdom of God that you can't see. Look for the invisible. Look for the impossible. God will answer that prayer. Look for something that is so far beyond your reach that you couldn't possibly imagine to do it. And that is the will of God for you. Because your call is to bear witness to great faith. Your faith isn't given to you to meet your needs. God said, I'll meet your needs. I know what you have need of. Don't ask me for that. That's a given. Know your design. I created you. I'll watch over you. I created you. I'll protect you. I created you. I'll fill you with joy and I'll fill you with peace. But if you're looking for fillers to put in a space that belongs to God and God alone, you'll compromise. And you'll settle for better, and better will never bring satisfaction. And when you get what you're after, trying to do it through better, you'll find yourself dissatisfied because your design demands excellence. Your call demands an excellent spirit, great faith. People could touch Jesus, the Son of the living God, God manifest in the flesh, and not get healed. Jesus could walk in all authority and power. And the word says, records that there's a time that he could not do mighty works because of their unbelief. No spiritual entity, no spiritual force, be it bad or good, has anything to say to you, through you, or with you against your will. Your will is your gift. It's all you need to please God. Your will. If you know what to do with it. Again, you either make your will an offering or you've made it an idol. First commandment, have no other gods before me. A god can be anything. It can be an appetite. It can be an addiction. It can be a business. It can be a drive. Anything that is self-centered, you have to bear witness to great faith. It's the only way you will succeed. You have to. And in so, people have to question your judgment, or you're not living by great faith. If the compromising natural mind that assesses a situation in such a way that it is only validated if it makes sense, if that mind can question you and get the answer, then that's not the will of God. But if it is beyond the imagination, beyond the grasp of an individual, that's a good start. God says, I will to do a new thing. And I've heard it said, in time. Wrong. There is no time in God's will. It does not exist. Everything takes time in His season and in His purpose, takes place in His season and in His purpose. But in the mind of God, time is a movement. It's an actuation. It's a direction. It's a direct decision made based on faith in who He is. And not what you want. So God will come in and wreck your world. James 1, 2, on purpose. And you will rebuke God, calling Him the devil. Bad decision. No evil will befall you. 1,000 could fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the psalmist said. Only with my eyes can I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I've set my affections on you. Bottom line, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. Every spiritual force requires your faith in order to affect you. Any force. demons, devils can't walk in at will and do what they want. Even if you're disobedient, if you're repentant and surrender to God, if you make a mistake, you're not punished by a demon, and you're certainly not chased down by a devil because you do the will of the Father. That is religion. It is ridiculous. God wouldn't allow you to be punished for doing His will. He said He would honor you for doing that. He said, submit yourself to God and the devil will run from you. So if he's chasing you, my answer is stop screaming at him. Surrender to God. God said, if you surrender to me, the devil will run from you. So when people say the devil's after me, my answer is surrender to God. And he will run away from you. If he's chasing you, something's wrong here. We need to reconsider your relationship with the Father. Not my will, your will be done. God hasn't called us to believe God to take care of what we need. That's not our call. That's not our job. That's not our anointing. And that's not the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is that it is great and that it bears witness that your confidence is in the God you serve. It's all He requires of you. It's pretty simple, right? Today's a simple day. See, Matt, I can make it simple. I want you to repeat after me. God doesn't want to make my life better. Now seal it in Jesus' name. He wants to make it great. Better isn't good enough. Better is comparison. Comparison to what? Well, it was really bad, so this isn't going to be very good either. Well, I made a decision based on this, and I'm doing this because this is so much better than really, really bad. What a poor marker for success. Because if it isn't good, you will get dissatisfied. And dissatisfaction leads to separation. You were created to bear witness to God and God alone. That's pretty easy. You know why it's so easy? Because the only thing I have to do it is say, not my will, your will be done, and mean it with all my heart. God, my faith is to know you better and to know you more. My faith is your will be done through me. I don't need faith to have my needs met. I know that's not prosperity preaching. Sorry, I'm not a prosperity preacher. God is prosperous in all His ways. And when He shares the intent of His heart, there isn't anything more wealthy. As far as silver and gold and wealth and money, God can fill your pockets beyond your imagination. You don't need a big crowd to be wealthy. You don't need a lot of people applauding you to be wealthy. You don't need anyone agreeing with you to be wealthy. You just need the kingdom of God to be manifesting through you. And God's wealth will pour out of you. God will do exceeding abundant and beyond. You don't need someone to confirm that your vision is a good vision. As a matter of fact, there will be no one to agree with you. Because God said, I didn't require your faith of them. I require your faith of you. So if I stand in a position saying, God, your will be done, your kingdom be manifest in me, it just doesn't get any better because God's will is far surpassing your needs. So if I'm going to apply your faith to something that is going to be certain, why wouldn't you do it to something that is so far passing beyond your needs that you don't need what you needed any longer? If you have a broken down vehicle and you're believing God for the money to repair it and God's going to answer whatever you pray, why wouldn't you believe God for a better vehicle? Doesn't that make sense? God, I believe you for better. No, you don't need better. God doesn't want to make your life better. He wants to make your life great. And it's not just because He wants you to live great. You are responsible for the faith that abides on the inside of you. You are responsible for your life. And what your life represents, as He said, you're going to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And here's the purpose in that. He said, you are going to bear witness of me. That's what you do. I am here to bear witness of who you are. You can't fail. You can't be a big enough sinner. You can't be unsaved long enough. You can't be old enough. You can't be young enough because it has nothing to do with you. Other than you surrendering the one gift that God will accept from you, your will. That's all you have to present. And your will isn't acceptable. It's just all that is required. Your will is too little. Your will is too small. Your will is too insufficient. Your will is too self-seeking, self-serving. I could name off a lot of other things, but I'd hit too many people and you'd get upset with me. A good idea is better than a better idea. My wife and I one time were married. Of course we're married. That's why she was my wife. Oh, I'm deep. And I was a bit of an outdoors guy back in the day. I have three girls. That's changed a little bit. Two daughters and a wife. But I used to like to go out and go fishing and do different things like this. And there was this beautiful lake that I wanted to take my wife to. And Donna was always willing. She was always willing to go and do whatever it was. If I started a business, she'd be right out there with me. She'd be working until I say, "Hun, it's not what I want. I want you to go home and bake the bread and fry the bacon or whatever it is." I know that's bad, but I'm already in too deep now. So one day I had encouraged her. I said, "Let's go out to this lake." And I said, "I'd love to rent, you know, I've seen these movies. It's romantic and beautiful. You rent a boat, and you paddle this boat out in the middle of the lake and see the sun glimmering off of the lake, and out in the distance, there was this big, beautiful rock." And I said to my wife, I said, "Let's go to this lake. Let's rent a rowboat, and I'll row you. I'll row you." Isn't that romantic? Isn't that cool? Isn't that romantic, ladies? Say, "Wow, what a romantic." Never mind. So we got in the boat, and we rowed out a ways, and then we'd stop. You know, it was a long distance. The projection was the rock. A long distance to the rock, so we rowed and rowed. This is a good idea. And then we stopped for a while, dropped the anchor, sat there for a while, didn't want to drift back to shore. Pull the anchor up, and we row, 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 get to this beautiful rock, and it is beautiful. I'm looking out there, and we sat there and talked about the wonders of God, and I was telling her how incredible and beautiful God's creation was. Of course, I was talking about her, but then the beautiful glimmering sun on the lake started to get a little more uncomfortable. And so I thought, you know, it's a long ways back and it's getting kind of hot. And I didn't realize how much heat was reflecting off of the water from the sun. So that beautiful glimmer on the lake became more and more challenging and it got hot. And then it wasn't quite as pretty as it was just because I'm getting really, really hot. And remember, I'm romantically rowing my wife out there. So we sat there for a while and we decided it's time to go back to shore. So I start rowing back and I'm going, "Wow, I don't know. I mean, this is beautiful. I don't know how it was a great idea. I hope I get us back to shore before I pass out." By now it's getting really super hot. We're about midway in the lake and I'm thinking, "Wow, my arms are tired. I'm really hot." Still want my wife to, you know, think, "Wow, he's strong. And look, he's rowing me out here. And how romantic is this?" And so we row back and we're probably about, maybe 50 yards away from the bank, and I'm tired, and the boat just won't go anymore. I'm out of juice. So I row, 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 and it just won't. And I said, "Man, you know, this wasn't that great an idea, I guess. Bad ideas will get you stuck someplace you don't want to be, and you'll be miserable. Your projection needs to be through Christ and not through the eyes of romanticism. You need to be romantic towards God's vision." Now, I still love my wife. I'm glad we did it because it makes a really great story. Because as I'm rowing and rowing and rowing, the boat just starts spinning. And I'm thinking, the oars work different than this last time. I mean, this meant that. If I did this, it meant that. But I'm doing both oars. I'm rowing really hard with both oars, and the boat isn't moving. And I row and row, and it's like 10 rows to 2 feet is all that I'm able to do. We get a ways from the shore. We're probably maybe just, 100 feet away or so now. And I looked at Donna and I said, "Man, I don't know what is. I can't get this boat to shore." And she said, "Did you pull up the anchor?" We can probably stop right there. The point is, projection is everything. And weight is a bummer. And if you think you can anchor yourself based on what you think is a good idea, you may get stuck somewhere where it's really hot and really difficult to get back to where you're supposed to be. So make sure that anchor is in Christ, and for goodness sakes, if it's in a boat, make sure you pull it in the boat before you head for shore. God has anchored you. See, the foundation, James 1:2 is all about the fundamentals, the foundation of just bearing witness. It's just so simple. The word says the kingdom of God is like a child. It requires one thing, that you trust your Father. Trust God. Trust what God has said to you about you. You are so, David said it like this. He said, I am so fearfully and wonderfully made. Know your design. Self-deprivation is not an honor. It's not humility. It's ignorance. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David said, I am created in the image of the true, one and only, holy God. If you'll only understand your design. What are we designed to do? One simple thing. Bear witness to great faith in the great God. Bear witness to the power of His will being so superior to your will. Extract all the juice, all the power, all the authority out of every single opportunity. Look at it as impossible and rejoice because it is. That's what the word says. We don't rejoice because we're going through something. We don't rejoice to get something out of it. We rejoice because we are anointed to bear witness that we have great faith in the God that is with us in the moment. My trial, my tribulation, the trying of my faith becomes something totally different when it's no longer about what you're going through. It's about the witness you are and to whom you bear witness to. It's about great faith that stands up in a time and a place where God says, can you believe that I will actually do this? Since you called on me, since you're asking me, I hope you know, God is saying, that I'm far beyond that, right? So if you're really believe me for something you know you can't do. Believe me for something that is far surpassing anything you've ever known, because what you've known is comparison to where you've been, and God doesn't want to make your life better. He wants your life to be great. He wants your life to be wonderful. We need to believe in some wonderful again. David's prayer were things like, how wonderful is God? His ways are so majestic. Have you ever wondered how David became such a great warrior? See, there's two different kinds of faith. One that you have to use because your needs demand it. Jesus called it little faith. Water's in the boat. People are screaming. He's down there sleeping in faith. They come in and get him and they say, don't you know we're drowning? And he says this too. He said, oh, you of little faith. You woke me up to meet your need. Why didn't you speak? Why didn't you demonstrate great faith? God isn't here to meet your needs. He isn't here to make your life better. He isn't with you so things are better, because better is compared to something that isn't nearly good enough, not even close. God's great call on your life is superior. Come on, you're going to call on God to do something? Do what? Do something I can't do. Open my mind. Open my eyes. Help me to see. David, King Saul said to David, you've never done what you're about to do. You're not good at this. He is. Goliath, that man has been doing what he's doing today since he was a youth. You're a youth and have never done it. David said, it doesn't matter. I'm not doing what I have to do. I'm doing what I get to do. I'm not doing something that requires my skill. And I'm not going to do anything that requires your skill. Because all you brothers, all you guys, all you warriors of Saul, you're afraid to address it. Because you want better. And better today isn't going to cut it. I need great. So David said, I'll go and do it. And David said, and by the way, since I'm asking, what do I get once it's done? You You can ask God to meet your needs. I'm not saying you can't. Of course you can. We've all done it. But you need to realize that it's not necessary to ask Him that. A far more expeditious way to what you need to be done, getting done, is to seek what He wants done. And in the wave, in the current of God's will being done, just like He said, I'll address everything you have need of. David faced Goliath and he won the battle. David faced Goliath and he became great. David's faith was great faith and it made him a great king. David did not fight well. David believed well. How great is your faith? Well, the only way you know is if you're believing something that can't naturally be done. Otherwise, it's the course of nature. Otherwise, we just believe things are going to happen. But great faith that God is commanding today to bear witness to those around you, it's not just about you. Your needs make you self-seeking, selfish individuals. When we're asking God to meet our needs, think about it. Great faith is for you to bear witness to the great God. We're not here to be satisfied or satisfy ourselves by our great faith. We're here to bear witness to others. You might even think, well, you know what? I'd be willing to give my life for someone. And you could do that. But it still wouldn't be the equivalent of the greatness God has put in you. You're still responsible for the great call God has placed on the inside of you. You are responsible for that. You can give your life for someone. But only Jesus was able to give His life to someone. And the difference is this. You could die for a friend. You could die for a family member. You could say, well, my life isn't worth living, but theirs is, so I'm going to give them my life. No, you won't. You can't give them their life. You can throw yours away, but you can't give them your life. Only Christ can. You can die for a cause, but that's not giving anyone your life. Only Christ. When He died on the cross, He died for your sins. When He died on the cross, He gave His life for you. But when He rose from the grave, He gave His life to you. Just giving His life for you wouldn't have empowered you, would have forgiven you, but wouldn't have empowered you until He rose so He could give that life to you. There isn't another moment in time that is the equal of today, nor will there ever be. And there isn't an equivalent to you. There isn't an equivalent to who you are. God will not just replace you. People have said, well, you know, God will just raise someone up in my place. Well, He said He could make the rocks cry out to Him if you didn't. But that's not His will. God's will is not to make the rocks cry out. God's will is that you know His. And not that you even do it, but that His will is done through you because of your design. We're so connected. Everything in creation is connected because its origin is the Word of God. So everything has its connected counterpart. And God has an alternative world for you, an alternative life for you. And you will never know what that is, no matter how many of your needs God meets. God will meet your needs. I've been young, I've been old, the scriptures say, I yet to see the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. God says, I know what you have need of. I know what you need. But when you pray, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Lori, I know you know this. 6:33. First thing is kingdom of God. Guys, it's that easy. You don't have a vision that will challenge God, but He has one that will challenge you. We can't think of something. We get so arrogant thinking that we've got this great vision and God, the vision that's great is one God gave to you. He has given it to you and you can't do it. That's God. And then God says, will you believe me, Moses? How are you getting through the sea? God didn't take him away that he could go. He took him away he couldn't go. David didn't do something because he had to. The centurion soldier, he made it difficult. Problems are equations for insight and revelation. And we need to be smart in the kingdom of God. We need to be wiser than men. The word says that the kings of the earth, the leaders, the nations of the earth will look at you and call you blessed. They will see something in you that is to a magnitude that exceeds your ability to assess a situation based on knowledge. Only faith can address it. Only faith can say, this is the will of the Father. And we're created to bear witness to one another. God did not create two separate people. God formed two people out of one. He formed Adam from the dust, and he took Eve from man's side. So it is never, ever going to be just about you. It's going to be about Christ making himself known in you. God will save you. God will fill you. And then God will send you to be a witness to someone else. Your life is so far expanding beyond your individuality. You are chosen to impact the world. We are so connected. God said, this is the way it's going to go. If I shape two people, number one, if man is the only one here, he cannot multiply. So it is not good for man to be alone because he cannot multiply. And I'm not going to create another separate individual because then the design of unity will never exist. So I'm going to create out of one, two. So they have to bear witness to one another. They are responsible for being a light to each other. So he said, I will make the woman a helpmate for man. And out of man came woman. And now out of woman comes man. God's great design. Your call is about unifying together by faith, not by coming into agreement with one another's thoughts, but coming into agreement with great faith. Let's do something we cannot do. Let's own universal. Let's own paramount. Let's own why. Let's be the leading marker of what vision should be telling. Let's be the wonder beyond God. Let's supersede what exists. Let's forget universal and become universal. Better is not God's will. Good is great. You are on this planet, no matter who you are, to impact someone else's life. It isn't just about you. That's why you can't just show up. You have to come out of your mother's womb. And you don't get to choose that. God has chosen that. We are dependent on one another agreeing about who God is. Not coming. You can have two totally different ideas, and God will bring you people with completely, completely foreign ideas, and you will create the greatest bond of union because these two, three individuals will come into unity with one thing. We are here to bear witness to great faith. So it doesn't matter what it's about. When you're presented with a challenge that is so superior to your ability to get out of it, to see yourself free of it, that's where God lives. This invisible God created you because he doesn't want to be invisible. You are his form of visibility. He created you so he would be manifest in you. God created you for his purpose. It pleases him. And everything that comes to you comes from him. And everything through you goes to him. God created us in such a union of design that you have to get saved so you help someone else. You need to be born again and filled with the Spirit so you can impact someone else's life. God didn't save you because you're a sinner. He saved you because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the apple of his eye. You're a treasure. He's not going to lose that. You're saved because you were a sinner. But he saved you because he loves his design. My God, his way is perfect. We are changing the world's direction today. We are changing projection today. We are lighting up a dark arena that has been invisible and unseen and can only be seen by the illumination of the Spirit of projection. Projection is the lens of God, and the only lens that is worth looking through is Jesus Christ himself. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith, and honestly, it's all he is interested in doing in you. Perfecting. What does that mean? Showing you how complete in him you are by your faith in him. It's not how great your faith is in you. So no one has less than great faith. The greatness of your faith isn't a projection of your ability to believe, but in whom you do believe. The greatness of my faith is because I trust in you, great and mighty God, who is great in all your ways. Wondrous are you, Lord, mighty indeed, wise in counsel. The orchestrator of all points and purpose, God of time. What is time? An event actuated that God responds to. Faith without works is dead, being alone. But faith engaged pleases the Father. And when God is pleased, he will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. So the fighting is over. Remember, God said to David, my temple, my house should be built, but you can't do it. You're chasing too many devils. That's how God said it to me. I was the best, biggest devil-chasing demon fighter there was when I was first saved. I thought I was the king of the pack. I was the leader. I knew how to do it better than anybody else. I had every word, every phrase, every demon, every devil, and I made some that didn't even exist up. Because I knew if something went wrong in my life, because I was trying to do the will of God, new level, new devil, it had to be. So I created a bunch of new devils. One day God said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing what you call me to do. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're like David. He said, you're spending too much time in warfare. You can't build my house. He said, but I'm going to bring a life out of you. I'm going to make you my son. And he said, you're going to be a man of rest. Just like God said about Solomon. God said to David, you have the resources to build my house. But you don't have heart. Because you've spent too much time in warfare. You have to have the heart of rest. You have the heart of a warrior. And he said, but to you will be born a son, and this son will be called a man of rest. And he said, and your son will one day will stand up and say, God has given me rest on every hand. I have neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Therefore, I can build the house of God. And one day, Solomon stood up and reiterated the prophecy of his father. He stood up and said, God has given me rest on every hand. I have neither demon, devil, nor adversary. And because of it, God has given me peace. And I can spend time building the house of God. And building the house of God, he did. It's the call of the body of Christ today. God didn't tell you to chase a demon or a devil. He said to surrender to him and they would run away from you. So when you step in the presence of someone that's possessed with one, it should be afraid of you. It should run away from you. Not fight with you and run away with you. The Lord is ever faithful. He is ever present. He is God Almighty. There is no other God but God. There is no power but of God. And those powers which are ordained of God, ordained by His purpose and by His pleasure. If the devil is chasing you, he's working for God. And what God's using him to do is to tell you, surrender yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you, and He will do through you great and wonderful things that you didn't even know, exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think. You can't figure out what God wants you to do. He will assign you to do something you can't do. I believe a great prophet is one simple thing, a great listener. You listen for what God has to say. People today that will do, as it said, great exploits in the world won't be people of resolve, people of resources, people of intelligence. They will be people of great faith. Those that surrender under the mighty hand of God and say, we're going to do things that exceed our imagination. We're going to do things we can't do. Isn't that our call? Aren't we called to bear witness to who He is and not what we are capable of? I'm telling you today, right here, right now, what has held us back is we are believing God to make our life better, and He isn't interested in making your life better. We're believing God to answer our needs, and He's already taken care of your needs. Better is a poor comparison to bearing witness to who He is. And who He is as great God within you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I've been prophesying to you all morning. I pray you've had ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. There is a union of faith without compromise. It means we just can't stop. Well, what if God doesn't answer me? He already has. If doing the will of the Father is our purpose, to bear witness to who He is, and you believe God, you just believe Him, that's doing the will of the Father. You've already succeeded. How can He not answer your prayer? He has. I've been believing God for this or for that, and I haven't seen it. Haven't you read the Scriptures? The patriarchs, how they believed God. And the Word says, they died never having seen Him. That's actually not what it says. It says they all died in faith. Not having seen Him with their eyes, but beheld Him afar off or projected His coming by faith. If you've believed God and didn't see what you were looking for, you did what you were called for. You believed God. You're not responsible for how it manifests itself, it being a word, a prophecy. You're responsible for believing. And if you've done it, the word has come to pass. There's also something else that is incredibly important. There is another dimension beyond the natural one that you live in that God wants to coexist in the present. It's called heaven and earth coming together, uniting to the faith of His children, within whom the kingdom of God not only resides, but presides. God led Moses by His word to go into the promised land. That was the word of God. And he never went in. He died because he got upset with the people, struck the rock instead of speaking to it. But not a bad death because he died and God buried him. I mean, come on. You can be buried by man or cremated in a furnace, or you can be buried by God. Whether we live or whether we die, we do it as unto the Lord. The word of God came to pass. I continued. I stayed. I stood believing. That's what James is about. He didn't talk about the outcome. It's not about saying, I got it all. I got it after all. You know, I got it after all. It's about getting that you have believed in the all and all. That's getting it all. Moses is told that now he can't go into the promised land. But God said he would. And then as Jesus stands on the earth fulfilling the word of God, who appears in a spot in the region of Canaan? Moses. And the one that was prophesied that would come back, Elijah. You know what that says? Everything is fulfilled in Christ. Whether you see it with your eyes or not, everything is fulfilled in Christ. Everything. There isn't anything left undone. Our position is to stand faithfully believing what God has said has come to pass the moment He has spoken it. You don't know how many prophetic words you will encounter when you open your eyes in the fullness of your reality in Christ and see God face to face. You have no idea what's going to show up, because when God says it, it is created. One of the questions is which dimension did that come to pass in? And if we seek the kingdom of God, we're going to see a whole lot more come to pass than you could possibly imagine. God revealed another dimension to Abraham and Sarah. Your bodies are not physically capable of doing what I'm telling you is going to take place, but I am the Lord God, and nothing is impossible for me. And God brought it to pass just like He said. There wasn't anything done in the natural. They had a taste of the second dimension of God. They had a taste in the Spirit, and he experienced Christ because he had great faith. Because it is said, his faith became his righteousness. And Jesus said, Abraham saw me. You have seen through your faith what God has said will come to pass. And if your eyes are not the confirmation of your faith, then that's great faith. The centurion said, I'm not worthy. Seemed to be an easy thing. Jesus just comes and heals him, right? Just like Jesus said he would. But the centurion did what we're going to do and what we're doing. I'm going to use my faith not to solve a problem. I'm going to use my faith to create one. Consider a problem, an equation with a resolve at hand, an answer. So if I need a great answer, instead of having my faith address something I already know, let your faith create a problem that you can't solve unless God does it through you. That's great faith. The centurion said, I'm not worthy. He'd never done this before. First time. First timer. Heaven high faith. He said, speak the word only. Jesus said, you didn't have to do that. I didn't meet a need. I told you I would. You didn't ask me to meet a need. It wasn't really about the servant being healed. It was about the word spoken and its power. Speak the word and this will come to pass. He spoke the word and it came to pass. That same hour, the word says his servant was healed. This is that day for you. Strength, health, healing, joy, peace, promise, power exists in you. Numerous occasions, I bear witness to this, I've stood on this platform and many others when I was sick. In so much pain, I could barely get up the steps to stand here. And the moment my feet hit this platform and I opened my mouth over and over and over, everything from fevers to injuries disappear the entire time. I've walked here the entire time. I spoke. I get off the platform, walk in my office, and double over in pain. Well, like I thought I got healed. I was completely without pain. Step back up here. Pain gone. Speak the word of the Lord and then I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. And the whole point, what God was saying to me is that's exactly what I want you to do. Stay where faith leads you. Because it's not what your eyes experience or what you can figure out. It's not what I do to you that counts. It's what I do through your faith. And when you stand in your position of great faith, God will orchestrate great things through you that will never, never, never be the same. And you'll never be the same. In every case, God healed me every time. But not until I learned that great faith wasn't meeting my needs. Great faith was bearing witness to who God is and how great He is. So it is with you. This is a day of your healing. This is a day of your deliverance. This is the day of your salvation. You know, you can't figure it out, so don't even try. You can find it out. Those in the house and those that are watching in the house, if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, if you've never been born again, or if you say, I have, but I question it, I want you to pray with me because I guarantee you beyond the shadow of a doubt, God will answer you today because we're praying according to His will and He answers it every single time. I want you to pray this prayer with me and God will change your life now and forever. Jesus, I confess I'm a mess. I can't do it on my own. On my own, I'm vile. I'm wrong. When I try to do right, it doesn't work out. And I'm even worse at doing wrong. When I do wrong, it doesn't work out either. But Father, I pray this. Save me. Forgive me. And change me into who You've created me to be. I want to know the me. Come on, pray it. I want to know the me You've called me to be. So I ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, save me. Jesus, I confess I've done wrong. I've messed up, but I confess You're the way maker. You're the Savior. I'm asking You to be my Savior. Save me. Forgive me. Give me a new beginning today. Take the emptiness out of me. Pray with me. Take the emptiness out of me and fill me with all that You are. I receive You today as my Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And I know You've heard me. And I know You've answered me. Today is my new beginning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone shouted. A few nights ago, the Spirit of the Lord came over me. It was late at night. And I just felt, hear what I'm saying. I just felt like, what a sinner I am. Now, I hadn't done anything at all. I could put my finger on and say I'm wrong. But it wasn't about me. It wasn't that I changed anything. I'd been seeking God hard, praying, seeking, listening. I love the Word. I can be in the Word for hours. I can be in prayer throughout the entire day. I just love seeking God. And that's where my heart had been. But it wasn't about me. It was when I began to magnify Him. I became so hungry for who He is. The comparison to who I am without that seemed so wrong. so beneath. And I prayed like I had got saved for the first time. And it really had nothing to do with me. It had to do with acknowledging Him, just been seeking Him. I mean, and sometimes I just want to seek Him harder, different. And I want it to be a new level of faith, heaven high faith. And that's all I've been doing. That's all I've been doing, just seeking God. And in seeking Him, the answer was like, "You sinner." I'm like, wow. That didn't seem like the answer I was looking for. But what it made me was, what I felt was a tenacious appetite, even exceeding what I had thought was the ultimate for me before. Such an appetite. And what I felt was just, God, I need You so badly. I need You so much. I need to know You way, way, way better than I've known You. I feel like so vain, so arrogant that I thought that I've known You in the way I did. I want to know You in a way I've never known You before. And this cleansing, clean feeling came over me. Don't ever think yourself to acknowledge how far you've come, but just how far He has been with you. How far He's walked with you, and how long He's talked with you, and all that He's revealed in you, and all that He's doing through you. It will be a few days, crouches. Before I speak this way, a few days, to you again. But know that the wonder of the Lord has led you in a place impossible and impassable, as He did with Moses, saying, "What is before you is not about you, and anyone that makes it about you, right or wrong, doesn't know what I'm doing through you. It is about who I am to you. I want you to know me in a way you have never known me before." I want your heart so absorbent, so porous to who I am in you, that you can never even question for a day whether you made the right or wrong decision. Because right or wrong, your answer was faith. And anyone that would inquire of you, "What were you thinking?" You say, "I was thinking about great faith. I was thinking about God and what He is capable of, and not what I could or couldn't do. I was anointed to have great faith and simply to believe God. Even when I didn't feel He answered me or heard me, and I just thought I'd just continue to believe. All along, God has borne witness through you that He's walked a long ways with you. But it is a very short distance in comparison to how long He will continue to walk through you and be with you in it all. This is a time that is going to reshape the culture of everything that you have known. There will be no impactful memory that will be a chisel to shape the stones on the interior that represent the wonder of God from the past that will be used in the present. And you are the chisels through whom God uses to shape the stones, and you are the stones that God shapes, and it's all done by Him through His faith in you. And you will find this to be a culturally transformed world all around you that God is developing and designing right now. And He's bringing people to you of like faith They are to learn, to listen, and to understand. And in so doing, the foundation is finished. It is time to see the glory of God manifest throughout the nations of the earth and be prominently recognized as a leader, an orator, and a believer of our great God through this gift of great faith that God has given to you. This is an unusual season of your life, and our God is beyond usual. This is the hour of the Lord, and God is promoting it. And the Lord has covered you in it and through it all. Fear not, for the sun will not beat you down, but the sun will raise you up. This is that hour. Give the Lord praise in the house. Father, we praise you for your goodness and your greatness. The Lord watches over you. The Lord strengthens you. Hey, Chris, rest. This is a moment of rest. If you'll take 3 days, shut everything off. Take 3 days and rest. Not because you're tired, not because you're injured, but because of the word of the Lord. If you will take 3 days and rest, God will show you how to do what you're doing better than you've ever done it before, because better is not good enough. The better that God will show you is the good that he wants to do through you. You will rest more and produce far more than you've ever done, and God will give you the equivalent of 10, 20, 30, what would your faith say to what you've ever experienced or even planned to do? And God will send the reputation of your faith throughout every region of business, and they will say, we want what you have to offer. And what they don't know is it's not your product, your ideas, or your decisions. It's your faith. And they will be drawn to believe as you believe. This is that hour. This is that day. God has already stepped you into an orchestration of understanding what the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God is. And there is no way to go back. There is no way to acknowledge, to see, to fathom what God is doing. Anton received a word about 8 years ago. I'm going to share this real quickly. The prophetic word was, and I'm going to let you go here in just a minute. The prophetic word was, you're standing there, and it's as if a tsunami comes. And I make this real short, but you don't get wet. And there are people just cheering, and there are buildings all over, and people are cheering. Well, just a week or so ago, Anton's doing business in Hawaii. And I don't know if you heard about the tsunami, but he was there. Shut everything down, turned all the power off, elevators, everything done. Bracing for the tsunami to come. And it didn't come. It is as if a tsunami came. And the tsunami comes and it catches you up. So it comes, sirens going off, everything shut down, streets are empty. After the hour projected of the tsunami just hitting and doing whatever it was going to do, it passed. Anton hears this shouting. He opens his door, and there are people in buildings all over the place just cheering and shouting and screaming. Just exactly like the word of the Lord. Now, only God could orchestrate something like that. What would that have possibly meant? It didn't come as if it were coming. He didn't get wet because it didn't come. And people all over the place in buildings all around, structures all around, were standing outside screaming, shouting, taking pictures, having a party. No matter what the tsunami is that's coming in your life, it won't soak you. It won't get you wet. It won't do damage, but it will cause praise and rejoicing. People will see the Word of God manifest in you in ways you hadn't and couldn't have imagined. This is that hour. This is that season. This is that time. This is that dedicated moment in God. And I put before you, this is the greatest season of your life. If you believe it, lift your voice and shout, yeah. You can take your seats this morning. Prophesied to you throughout the day, you've heard what you needed to hear. Trust in the Lord in it. Make this word yours. Make this understanding your understanding. Embrace it. Thank God for it. Believe Him in it. And He will surely bring it to pass. You are fostering great faith. And that's a word you need to know. You're fostering great faith. And the Lord will weed out those who are from those who are not a part of this projection of faith. And it's going to be done by your standard of remaining and speaking. This is what God has said, and that's what I'm instructed to say today. The Lord is great and faithful and worthy to be praised. So praise Him. Love Him like you've never loved Him before. Knowing today something brand new has begun. Something has changed. Something has dramatically shifted in your life. Because of the word of the Lord. God has commanded you to do things that you can't do, but some of you didn't do it. So God nudged you just a little bit and said, here's something so big, so enormous, that you have to walk through. It's kind of like if you'll drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. Well, if you call on your faith won't be called on. So call on your faith. Determined today, I'm going to do something beyond. Steve and Susie, I keep seeing a highlight of you, and it is education is kingdom. Education and instruction is kingdom, and out of it, orchestration, God orchestrating something brand new. Through you. You're right on track. Just stay on track. It's all you have to do. It's that simple. The answer is yes. So yes. Go. Do. Say. Build. Create. Remain. Listen. Hear. You're founded on the Word. It's time for the inward working. And if you position yourself where you are, because there is a demand for you. Instead of you going, it will come. That's your new step. Instead of going, it will come to the center. The centrifuge, the centering, the embryo, the nucleus is you. God will bring it to you. And the new will come out. The new will not come with you going. The new only comes with you remaining. So it comes to you. That is your direction. This is that hour. And the Lord will be glorified in it. And great will be the praise of His people. We worship You, Father. Can you listen for him? Listen. Can you hear him? Listen. Can you hear him? Listen for him. Listen for his breath, breathing on the inside of you, making you alive again, giving you strength to do what you couldn't do, taking you someplace you couldn't go. Healing you. The Lord is your comfort. The Lord is your joy. The Lord is your strength. If you believe, that with all your heart, let me hear you shout unto God today. You know what I heard when we listened for the Lord? I bet you all heard it. I heard that baby. Did you hear that baby? I heard the sound of newness. I heard the sound of born, new, born again. I heard the kingdom of God. I heard the sound of a baby. There's a new beginning in this place. Can Matt, these your friends, I assume? Could you just, all of you come up here? Can I pray with you? I can't really see your faces. All of you, Matt, Lori, would you just come up here? Matt, come up here, please. Just kind of touch each other. Love your shoes, brother. Those rock. Very nice. Father, I thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. Shepherd. Lord, you watch over your people. You keep, you govern. You are the Lord ever present, the Lord ever powerful, the Lord ever wonderful. You right here, you're the closest to my side. You heard me today. And God heard you 3 days ago when you asked the Lord about what's happening today. God says, I heard you and I answered you. It's a new day. Dawn of a new beginning. And I don't want you to be afraid. Don't worry about yourself or those you love. I am the Lord who strengthens you. But more than that, I'm going to take you someplace you've never been before. I know your struggle and your contention. I am God who frees you today. And the lack of sleep will be no more. Rest in peace. I go before you to make the way straight, unlike you've ever known. The intelligence you have is far beyond anything you've heard. It's my spirit speaking in you. You are close to what I say today, what I have spoken today, and you will be a courier of what God has said. A shepherd's staff is in your hand. You will shepherd something new. In a different way than you've ever done before. Because you asked me, you knocked, and I opened the door. And I tell you, come in. You'll find your rest and peace here. The contention of teens of years will disappear. Been an in and out struggle, back and forth over what God has anointed you to do, entering a time of rest unlike you have ever known. You will know no loss of the past. God will do more than restore. God will take you into a place that you will be the new thing. You will be the new thing. A shepherd's staff is in your hand, and the flock is different than any flock you've ever seen. This is the hour and the order of the Lord. No one chose you. I did, says God. And I called you out by my name. And God, I give you praise. Sir, may I take your hand? You're a watcher. Father, I thank you for the watchman. Again, over the dawning of a new day, epic season, vision. Tell me what it is. Tell the story. Write it down. Make it clear. God will reveal to you what you can't research and find. God will say through you what you can't figure out. Didn't the Lord put you in a position to do what you can't understand? How can you know? Your faith will tell you. And what God says to you, He will say through you. This is your science. This is your understanding. This is your vision. I will bear witness of the past through you, says the Spirit of God. And I will bring it into the present. I am the Lord ever present with you. Father, we give you praise. Years, strength, health, and life to you. The Lord's covering, the Lord's blessing, God's breath breathe into you and out of you. God renew you. God renew every organ in your body. God strengthen you for many days. Like a battery freshly charged, the Lord strengthen you and give you the energy of your youth, because your vision is youthful, says the Spirit of wonder. I didn't cause you. I didn't tell you to stop. I didn't retire you. I stepped you into something new that you don't know how to do. Or do you? You know me. Do what I've called you to do. Now hear me. Don't agree with what you're told to do. Agree with what I tell you to do. Do it that way. You will find some disagreeable things. Set the order, and I will make it right, says the Lord. And I will duplicate the vision of where you stand 10 times over, 10 times over, 10 times. And I'll make you the model, says the Lord. God, we give you praise. We love you.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you. More years than you imagined. And peace to you, beloved, God's joy. In Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. Give the Lord praise in the house. Glorify your God. Our faith, our witness is everything. This is the greatest season of your life. We have a new friend in the house, Connor. Show this man love. He's a great guy. And we love him. Walk in the peace God has given you. Walk in the joy that the Lord has revealed to you. And you have a really, really wonderfully impossible call that you can't do. And God isn't going to make it better. Isn't that encouraging? But through you, He will do the impossible. And in you, you will know what great faith is. And by that, Christ will be revealed in you. And that's the hope of glory. And this is the greatest season of your lives. Believe it, give the Lord a shout of praise in the house.